right, good morning, church.
Hey, hey, how you doing? You ready to get on up?
Good, stand up.
Put your hands together for the Lord.
You call us out of the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger. We've overcome. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. I've got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquered death forever. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Let's hear it now. I've got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. I got a mighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquered death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name.
Woo! You awake? All right, our God is who? A mighty warrior. Welcome to Haven Community Church. How you doing today? Everybody good? All right, awesome. We serve an awesome God. Amen? All right, it's just cool. I don't know. I just think we've been doing this series we started last week called White Christmas, and we're talking about forgiveness. And it's heavy stuff, right? Forgiveness It's big stuff. But I got to tell you, I just think today is just, remember, those of you who were here with us last week or were a part of Church Online, we want to welcome you as well. But one of the most awesome things is, I think if we really, really were to wrap ourselves around what we're going to share today, it can be a game changer to be able to see each other and other people in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be awesome. So I'm excited about what God's got for us today. Wayne? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
How you doing?
Good. Went to an exciting parade yesterday. That's the cool thing about Northeast. That's a cool small town. You know, you go out there and you see all these folks you haven't seen. It's like church, you know. One day a week, I see you folks, you know. So it's good to see everybody here this morning. Good weather yesterday. I was in that grocery yesterday, the grocery store in Northeast, and I walked in. It was like full of people, and they're like, man, you know, this would be a parade every Saturday. She goes, yeah, I'd be rich right now. She goes, it's usually nobody here on Saturday, you know. But so get down Main Street, do some business down there. You know, those folks appreciate it. Support your local business community. Amen. Forget Lowe's. Goodbye down there. It's good stuff. All right.
Somebody works for Lowe's.
We got some Lowe's people. I know.
You always get one. Always.
Just stop now. Wait.
Forget Home Depot. Go to Lowe's.
Yeah. Home Depot's in Delaware. Oh, wait, we're going to get a hay from that too. So. Hey, forget everybody. There we go.
All right, well, we're just going to. This song is called Your Name, you know, and it's just nothing like it, you know. We talk a lot about this time of year, and this time of year just reminds me of the busyness of it all, you know. We get so caught up in, like, you know, what we're going to buy and what we're going to do, what we're going to just, you know, quiet our lives, quiet our phones, quiet our, just, we're here right now, it's worship time. It's time to just worship God in a powerful way and just forget about, you know, everything else for the next hour, hour and a half. It depends how long Jack talks, but, you know, we, it's a dig on Jack, I know, but, you know, it's all good, you know, just forget about, you know, all the other stuff and commercialism and the things that make Christmas kind of not Christmas to me. Christmas is all about, you know, this awesome gift that God gave us, you know, the gift of His Son, and that's what it's all about.
Power to say, your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it loud. Nothing has the power to save.
I am yours.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and we thank you that with all things around us that we have a strength to know. I was just thinking about the songs that we have a mighty warrior when everything else in life is challenging us and we feel weak and we feel like we're falling apart. We have a mighty warrior who just is a consuming fire that just burns away all that stuff in our lives that just seems to rob us of joy and love and peace. And God, on top of that, it's your name. We have power in your name. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. And at the mention of the name of Jesus, all hell shudders. And that God, even in those moments when everything seems to be falling apart from us, we need to recognize that we have this great gift, this priceless gift of life that you have given to us. And yet in it all, it seems so quick. When we look that I am a flower quickly fading here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Even if it, in the grand scheme of eternity, in this grand scheme of life, it just seems like we're just a vapor. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord, and that means everything. So for someone who's here today or watching and part of church online, God, I just give you thanks for them. To let them know if they don't hear anything else the rest of the service today, that they recognize that they have a God and a Father in heaven who loves them. And no matter whether they've been told they're worthless or never going to amount to anything, or whether we just feel that way during this time of year where we say that depression reaches an all-time high, let them know that they have the creator of the universe who just loves them. We give you thanks for this and the rest of the service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Sunday school's not going to leave right now. Just say hi to everybody. We're going to go ahead and head to our Advent. All right, here we are. Guess what? We're on the second week of Advent. Wow. That means two more. Two more and then Christmas Eve. All right, so we're getting close. So hopefully you've cyber shopped or went out there and fought with people over that little egg thing. Right? You haven't heard that? The little egg toy? Wasn't that the big one this year? Hatchables, that's what they're called. Hatchables. You'll get them in a yard sale in a couple years. Don't worry. All right. So, but we're glad that you're here. Last week, we lit the candle of hope, for it is in Christ Jesus that we have our hope. This week, we're going to recognize and we're lighting the candle of love. And so, as we light this, I want to refer you to a video that reminds us of the love that God has for us.
Thank you.
Love. There we go. Love. Love's a word that we have one word for, right? Love. I love cake. I love my kids. Melissa, I love you. That wasn't the look that I expected to get, but then we have that other type of love as well. Love you, Mom and Dad. We have those. We have one word for love, and what's amazing is the Greeks, which the New Testament was written in, had several forms of love, and some of those were expressed. And when they were looking for a word to say love to their brothers and sisters, they used the term phileos, which is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. When they looked for one to talk about their parents, the love parents have for kids and vice versa, it's something called storge. Storge love. It's that familial love. And then they, so we had those two. When we look at the love that they have for your significant other, it was the term eros, which is love poem love. It's where it started at a very early age where we said, I love you. Do you love me? Circle yes or no. Hopefully some of you have journeyed from that point now, okay, at this age. And then they had to find a term for love that God has. And they went to an old word that wasn't used at all, and it's a word that's called agape. Not a guppy, not a fish, agape. But it depicted the all-consuming, unconditional love that God the Father has for us. And he has that in the giving of his son. And that's what's really the true meaning of Christmas is, that God loved us so much that he sent his son, knowing that he was going to have to suffer and die. And he sent him into the world. Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And that's what Christmas is really about, all right? So that's an awesome deal. All right, so now we're going to let the kids and others head to our Sunday school Shoreline Ministry. There they go. They're excited to get out of here. They're tying a sail to me, all right? So we go. All right, we're going to let them head out. For the rest of us here, we want to welcome Church Online. Welcome. Hang in here. This is me. I'm Jack. Nice to meet you. If first time. For the rest of us, our visitors that are here, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you are here and present with us today, and we're thankful to God that we're here to celebrate any time to come together and just stop the world around us and worship God. All right, so we are glad that you're visiting. If you're visiting, hopefully you received a card, and we have a special gift for you. If you're watching online, go ahead and just send an email or write on Facebook that this is the first time that you've connected with us, an email to info@havencc.org. We'd love to hear your experience online, and that would be really, really good. So everybody else here who's been here before, hi, I'm back, and I'm glad you are too. I want you to look at some things. We've got a couple more weeks in this year, 2016. Remember, Christmas falls on the 25th, like every year. And this year, that happens to be a Sunday. All right? Sunday. And one of the things is, most of the people who serve here have families, and several of them have kids. And so we want to give a gift to those of us who serve and are part of that, our Sunday school ministry, our media team, our worship team, everybody who does anything here. And we want to give that also to our congregation who comes out every week. And we want to give you a Christmas present to say, stay home. Okay? You'll never hear a pastor say that very much. But I want you to stay home and enjoy your family and celebrate Christ's birthday with your family. Because it's God, family, and others is how we should focus on this. And so don't forget Jesus in that. Now, what we will have is on Saturday night, 6:30 to 8:30, we have two options for you to worship God and celebrate the Lord's birth. They'll both be candlelight services, and they will also consist. Our first one is usually a family-type oriented service. Doesn't mean that we haven't had people that are family that come to the 8:30, but what we basically deal with is one that's a little more laid back earlier, and the other one's fairly laid back, but we have a communion service at night. If you really want to, some have come to both of them, and it's a great opportunity to really celebrate the Lord in different ways, and that'll be a couple weeks. So we welcome everybody to go ahead and do that. But year end, it's coming, so we want to give you this opportunity. Remember last week I shared about the wicked servant who owed $5 billion, and I asked you, did you think that was a lot of money? And some of you reacted and some of you didn't. For those of you who didn't react, I want to remind you, year-end giving, 2016. You can also give to help support the ministries that continue. Just to remind you, we had one Sunday canceled early in the year due to snow. Remember that stuff? It'll be back. And we were really blessed with lots of snow, but we got a ton right in a row. And so we missed one Sunday, and we haven't fully made up, but God's good, and I thank you for all your gifts in that. And again, we won't have church on Christmas, but we will have something online for people to view if you'd like to during that morning. Maybe me sitting next to the Yule log. Wouldn't that be cool? I just look at you and go, Merry Christmas. Play Yule log. I got a demented mind. It's starting to work, okay? We'd love to have you connect with that. A couple different things. One thing that I don't see here that I do want to mention, if anybody would like to participate and help, next Saturday, what time does it start, Jimmy? Chop with a cop? I'm sorry, Laura, what time does it stop? Start? 8 a.m. 8 a.m., shop with a cop, which helps many, many kids who would have no Christmas, where our police officers from all different forces, all different groups around the county come together, and it's an awesome experience to see them take a child or children who are less privileged for some reason, and they've gone through, figured that out, and tried to make a Christmas great for them, and to see them experience, to see community really come together. It is an awesome experience. And if you want to come together and help with that, you can help wrap and do other kinds of things, but you have to dress like an elf, right, Judy? Jimmy told her to dress like an elf, and she did. You don't have to dress like an elf. I'm just joking. But it's an awesome experience. How many have ever been part of Shop with a Cop or done anything with it? It's amazing, and it's an awesome experience. I know John will be there and others.
Do we still need more people?
You need more people?
We're all signed up.
You can always use more people, right?
Yeah, we can always use more people.
Yeah, the quicker things get wrapped and other things. The group last year got through wrapping in great time. You can help, right? Help hand out food. I know we always use them. You can help transport stuff from your house. All right, so at the fire hall in Northeast. Volunteer Firehouse in Northeast. So plan to be there and help out if you'd like to do that. That would be awesome. If you want to sign up for Disciple, please go ahead and do that. I will tell you that it's not going to be the Genesis Exodus one. What it's going to do, we're going to deal with, part of that is going to be dealing with the letters of Paul. So it's going to be an awesome experience. So please sign up for that, if you will. Dining for Women, the 7th, anything?
Yeah. Can I say
so? Oh, Lord. Here we go. Here we go. We got this one right here, Becky's. There you go.
He also told me everybody dressed like an elf, but they didn't. Okay, I just wanted to tell all you ladies that don't know about our Dining for Women, we have such a good time. And you don't have to dress as your favorite character, but if you want to, you can. So if you have any questions, if you've never been, just check with me after church. Thank you.
Right. Judy's favorite character is Elf. All right, just joking. That's my mother-in-law, so I get to joke with her. Okay. All right. Also, this Wednesday, there is a Q&A town meeting with Sheriff, Sheriff Scott Adams. This Wednesday, December 7th, and the time, it's wrong in the bulletin, the time is 6:30 to 8:30. Okay, so be here at 6:30. So anything else we need to share? We good? All right. So it'll be a great time to go ahead and have a Q&A. I saw Sheriff Adams the other day, and he's excited about coming in. It'll be a good time to answer questions and get answers. That's why it's called a Q&A. Right? Poinsettias. I'm deep. Okay. Poinsettias. Orders by next Sunday so that we can have them in here. And we'll have them for the services. We talked about Christmas candlelight. Hopefully you have an insert with that. If you're online and you'd like to do that, you can go ahead and go ahead. Scripture readers, we have people who read scripture every week for 2017. So if you can and you'd like to be part of that, you can also send that to info@havencc.org. And Bible study for tween girls. So if you'd like to go ahead and no information about that, ages 8 through 11, it'll be very awesome. You can sign up here or also online as well, all right? So we have lots of things that are going on here. And then Angel Tree is underway. Really have several angels out there still, right? Still have several angels. So it goes to help those, again, who are less fortunate. Go out there, grab an angel to tell you what the age and stuff is. Buy the stuff. And when is it got to be back? the 18th, so you have a couple weeks. This church has been awesome. I want to say you are the most incredible church. I've had most people say they've seen churches do a lot of stuff, but meeting the needs as we have done as a church this last couple months is incredible, absolutely incredible, but there's more need, all right? And so if you can give, can outgive God, right? God says, test me on this, so press it down and shove it in and give you a whole bunch more, give you a whole bunch more blessing. So, you know, go ahead and do Angel Tree if you're able to by any chance. Or here's what I'll say. If you have some people that are sitting in a row and you feel like you can't do it all, say to somebody, hey, would you like to partner with me with a kid? We can meet those needs even by doing that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We make that. So that's a great thing. And you read the other ones, Parish Foundation, December 18th. Need some people? One or two. There you go. One or two. Get your opportunity, and you can go to Parish Foundation and Quarters for Linens for the Emergency Rotating Shelter, where we will be January 9th through the 16th at Five Rivers? Yeah, Five Rivers. All right? Wow, lots of stuff. Prayer group, if you want to be part of the prayer group and you're not on there, there's information about that with Debbie Chadwick. And so now we're going to go to our prayer time now and lift up some prayer concerns. Anna asked for prayers for her sister-in-law. Our family and their house caught fire when they were on vacation this past week, and pray for them to be back in their home as soon as possible. Joanna Shea, please pray for Donnie as he struggles on his journey to recovery. Judy asked for prayers for Curtis Rasnick with cancer. Ellen Redclay with surgery and then had a blood clot. So I'm going to pray for her. Debbie Chadwick asked for prayers for Richard Mancy Isaacs, is that right? So he passed, and I'm going to pray for his family and friends, and also for Robert Parnell. It was Kitty's dad, so we want to lift him up in prayers as well. A couple other things that we want to lift up. Over in the Bayview area, you know, there were several fires on that road. One was the pastor's house, the parsonage, and everything went up. And so they had nothing. It's gone. Pastor McGrath, he's new there, came in July, and so they lost pretty much everything in that fire. And there was another one down the street, so they're beginning to wonder if there's something going on, all right? So we want to lift all the people in prayers for that. Another thing is we have a joy. Billy Ross. There's Billy. Billy was in a very serious accident several months back, and Billy's back here with us, and we thank God that he is here with us and recovering. And all good on the road, and Billy's a great guy. Known him for about 400 years. Yeah, so. But let's hear it for Billy. So awesome. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer now, if you'll join with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we realize that there is so much going on this time of year. Ultimately, God, we know that you are in control. And if you are in control, and if you are in charge, what do I have to fear? And so, God, during this time of the season where everything's hectic, help us just stop and think of you. Stop and focus on who you are. But more importantly, God, let us see with your eyes the need around the world, the people who just need to come to know you. And let us just sort through all the other commercialism and all the other seasonal stuff, but let us get to the heart of the matter. The reason why we celebrate is you were born into this world and you changed everything from that point on. And so, God, we lift up many needs that were lifted here today. I thank you for the joys of those people who were in accidents and didn't look good, like Billy, who's here with us today, and John Campus, who I saw the other night. That although Satan may have meant it for destruction, God, you are showing your healing power and your providence and your strength. Be with them. For others who are dealing with loss and death, be with them, God. For those who are struggling with recovery, let them lean on you and be their strength that they can get through this and say, I didn't have enough strength to do it, but in Christ, all things are possible. For those who are dealing with diagnosis of cancer or dealing with surgeries and complications from there, God, you be the chief physician and healer in those situations. And for those who have lost everything through a fire, whether accidental, whether on purpose, or whether some other means, God, we're given so much. And when moments like this happen, where people lose everything, your church can be a light to people in a very dark time. When people are homeless, and during this, as we learned last week, that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, more people commit suicide than all the year combined. Because this year, with all its festive nature and songs about joy, also tends to have us examine the loneliness and the hurt and the pain and the darkness in our hearts. And yet, we have a Savior who said that you're going to have problems and you're going to have trouble, but take heart, because I've overcome them all. So God, for those who are here and those who are a part of our church online, I just ask that you meet them where they are. That you heal their hearts, you heal their bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. And that now, God, as we move to the time where we have received so many blessings and we take time to give back to you through your tithe and our offerings, we give you thanks, not only in word, but in action. And as we continue to grab an angel off the tree and see a name that we may never, ever come in contact with, or see not even a name, but just to see an age and stats that we recognize that this is a kid that because of this action, someone may come to know you through it. I give you thanks for using us and bless the gifts that we give, which you have first given to us and entrusted for us to go and do likewise. Freely you have received and freely give. So during this time, God, bless the offering, bless the tithe, bless the giver. Most importantly, God, let us connect to you in a way we never have before. In Jesus' mighty name, we all pray. Amen.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights, my word from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down on the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in familiar shock, confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah. Stepped out on a busy street, see a girl in our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife, he's out of work, he's buying time. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 That I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance. Give me a second chance. See the way you've seen the people all along.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your eyes for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted. For the broken.
more. Give me your heart.
For the ones for God. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Good morning. Christmas is love. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
You want to sing it, don't you? Maybe. Hang in there. What? All right. Did Gary already sang it? All right. Good. How you everybody doing today? Everybody good? Okay. Good. I heard a story of a young boy, 6 years old. He was praying the Lord's Prayer. And he got to the part, forgive us our trespasses. And he said, forgive us our trash passes as we forgive those who pass trash against us. So when we talk about forgiveness, that's kind of what we're talking about, right? About how we pass trash around to different people. And so anybody had some trash passed their way that you need to forgive somebody? Anybody a trash passer? Did you pass some trash on to some people? I'd say there's a couple of us here, and you may not recognize, just to let you, if you don't know, you have. All right. So today we are going to continue our series on called White Christmas. And last week we talked about snow globes. Anybody remember that? Okay, good. We talked about snow globe living and really begin to open this up. Today's going to be kind of a transitional sermon today. And we're going to set up for next week's message as well. Today I'm going to give you something. And last week, if you remember, we talked about some things that were actually offensive to us if we do them and forgive somebody, right? We had to put some things in place that didn't make us feel so good. And, you know, I've been thinking all week about two things. I've been thinking about Trixie, number one, who I shared the story about how she forgave the people who killed her son, murdered her son. And then the other one was, I also was thinking a lot about Joyce Meyer and how her father had raped her over 200 times in her life. And she forgave him, bought a house for him, and then he came to know Christ. And she baptized him. Pretty amazing stuff. So anybody got anything good going on in your life? You good? I kind of get a feeling. Remember, like in the series, I kind of felt like it wasn't me just like up here regurgitating and throwing up forgiveness all over everybody, but just like we're kind of just sitting around. And there's Melissa there, right? That's Melissa, right? Right next to you. We forgot to tell you congratulations. You won the NCAA championship against. You went through. Who was the first one? Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville,
Duke, and Carolina. In field hockey and Delaware, she's assistant coach at Delaware, right? Field hockey, and they won the national championship. That's awesome. That is awesome. And I saw her last week, and we forgot to celebrate that, so that is incredibly awesome, and we're thankful to God for that. I know you were, right? Yeah, so that's incredible. But isn't that amazing? That's just great. Anybody else got anything really awesome to share before I... Might as well share the good stuff before I beat you up, right? Okay? Anybody got anything really good? Let's go here, Jenny. Yeah, what about him? No. You want to share, Mom? No, she doesn't. Jacob ran in his first indoor track meet ever, and he already qualified for the conferences and set an Eastern University record in his first run. So he's doing well. He's doing awesome. All right. Yeah, back here. Oh, wow. In gymnastics, right? That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, right here. Awesome. That's great. All right, January 30th, new house. There we go. That's awesome. That's all. Wow, awesome. That's great, awesome. We don't do this enough, right? I don't have any of this down. I'm just doing this, in case you know. So now it's going to get to that hour and a half, 2 hours now. Okay.
Great-grandson.
Good, awesome. We're thankful for that. Anybody else? Anybody on this side have anything good? Are you all miserable? Right? You got one, Ray? All right. Okay, that's great. Right here? Got this little guy here who's getting big right there. First Christmases. We got another one right here, a little girl here. Anybody want to pick me up? Yeah. All right, sounds good. Yeah, all the way in the back. Awesome, that's fantastic. That is amazing. So, you know, I was thinking just coming to the end of the year, we haven't really taken a lot of time to just say, God's awesome. You know, in the midst of that. And I think it's good to kind of do that just sometimes because we lose sight of that in the stuff, right? Yes? Awesome. Awesome. That's good. And Laura's glad because John shaved. John grows a full beard in like an hour. Really, so that's good. Yes?
And my parents are celebrating
their 50th. That's right. Your parents are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. That's awesome. Oh, there goes another baby this year, Kristen. So isn't it awesome? Like we just don't take time to do that, and I just felt like we kind of do this. Because I kind of feel like I'm just kind of sitting around a room talking with friends today, and that's kind of what I want to take this approach to this deal. Because I think, you know, that we're dealing with this issue of forgiveness, and our key verse comes from Isaiah chapter 1. And we read this before, and it says, "Come now, let's settle this." In other words, in a Cecil County manner, it's like, come on, let's do this, all right? Let's just talk about this. Come on. You ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? All right, there we go. Huh? Texas, yeah. Y'all coming, okay. In Pittsburgh, it'd be yin's ready, okay? So, or yous guys. But anyway, here's what he says. Let's settle this. Come on. He said, "Though your sins are scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. I will make it white as snow." Sin is not only the stuff we do. We've always been taught it's what we do, but it's also stuff that's been done to us. Anybody ever had any sin done to you? How are you feeling about that? Not good. It's about when someone crosses the line in your life. Anybody ever crossed the line in your life? You ever crossed the line with somebody else? So we got a lot of this. And so what it says here, though they are red like crimson, and remember, you're just bleeding all over the place. He said, "I will make them as white as wool. If you will," and we talked about this last week, obey me. Remember the big term, obey, last week? "I will do that if you obey," not obey. If you obey me, if you obey me. God says to us basically, I have a solution for your problem. But you're not going to like what I tell you to do. Remember we talked last week about obey? You have to obey stuff you don't want to do? And you, like, if I say, in order to get paid, you have to do what? Show up to work, right? How many of you, like, some days don't want to show up to work? But you have to obey. if you want the benefits of that. And that's what God's saying. If you want the benefits that I have, you have to do it. And we talked about that some of these things may be shocking, but if you really do this, you'll set the real prisoner free, and it's not that person there. It's you. It's you. And I remember, I think one of the main things I remember was Trixie saying to me on the phone, I felt as if I was a prisoner. And at that moment, I felt that God freed me from that point. And so today, this is going to be a one-point message. How many always remember how every pastor does a three-point sermon? Not getting that, you're getting a one-point message. How many are thrilled about that? I'll give you a 10-point message and call it one. You won't have a clue, all right? So, but there's one theme that's going through this whole thing and one truth. And I want to say this to you. We all get offended at times. We all get offended, and that seems to be the real truth. We're all offended, and Jesus promised this would happen. If you look at Matthew 24, chapter 10, in the King James, New King James, it says, and then many will be offended. If you look at the term for many in Greek, it actually means majority. So that means the majority of you will be offended, and the term for offended in Greek is the term scandalon. It's where we get our term scandalous or scandal. And it means you're offended. It's an offense that entraps you. It's one that baits you in and causes you to react in a negative way. It's kind of like a snare or a trap that you have. And it's a sign of the last days, as it says here in the scripture lesson. We'll betray one another and we'll hate one another in the last days. This is a sign. How many of you think we're in the last days by reading that verse? Yeah, right there. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible. It is impossible that no offense should come to you. So if you're wondering why you can't get away from scandal or why you can't get away from offenses, it's because Jesus promised you can't get away from it. No matter what you do, it's going to happen. If I packed up here and left, we'd be like, this is miserable. Why did I go to church? I feel worse. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you, but it's not what important if it happens. It's how you deal with what happens that God looks at. And so what most people do is what's found in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 19, an offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like barred gates of the citadel. Unyielding. Unyielding person. That's the one who says, you're not, no way, that person, I'm not letting them near me again. Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. No, you're done. And a fortified city, what they used to do is they built walls around cities, and you couldn't get in. Now, here's the problem. When we build these cities built based off a hurt, we not only keep out the bad people, but we also keep out the people who want to love us. If I had a dollar for every time I've seen somebody who connected to God, was doing well, was living a really connected life with Christ, and everything was good in their life, when something went bad, they started to put on walls. And I've known people, even in the ministry of this church, people who are emotional that may have stood here, that may have been with you in small groups, or may have been with you as friends, where they were emotional and they let open their heart, and something happened in their lives where they started to put up walls where you can't even get in. You keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Nobody's letting anybody in. And if you try to get to a point where you can kind of see what's going on in there, they build a wall higher. And ultimately, when you build a wall around yourself, you tend to isolate yourself. It's not a good thing. It's not something that happens. And you become unyielding in this. I'm somebody who, when I'm really, really hurt, because I often connect to people and put this out there, as pretty as it is, it's out here. And what happens at times, when you put yourself out there for people, you set yourself up to get hurt. Anybody recognize that? And when you do that, then you begin to question stuff, and then you also begin to question yourself. And often what we do is, at least in my case, I back myself in and I begin to build up walls. I remember when I went to a church in Lewis, and I was dealing with so much hurt because I felt I was having a conflict with what was going on in my life. And I remember that I went there and I made a decision. I remember consciously making a decision. I'm not going to be as open and loving as I was elsewhere because I don't want to get hurt anymore. And so you start to build up walls. Boom, boom. And I built up some walls. And I was like, that's how I was going to approach ministry. I was going to build up a wall. I wasn't going to get to know anybody. And I remember one of the first times I gave communion there, I talked about you know, what communion means. And you've heard me talk about how it's a Seder meal, and when the bread is broken, it comes from the Afrikamen, which means I have come, and the cup of redemption, which is I have come to redeem you, is what Jesus was saying in that meal, and adding some other things. So it was really something that was passionate. I said, I'm going to share this from passionate heart. And after I got done, this lady comes up to me, and she goes, I want to tell you, when you did communion, and I thought she's going to say, wow, you moved me, and it was just, I never heard that. She said, and you didn't use the stuff to wash your hands. I really was upset. And I wanted to say, lady, I'm going to do the same thing with you as I did to the bread and break you and spill you out all over the altar. Hallelujah, right? Old Testament, right? Because you know what? And you know what I did? Boom. I built another brick in the wall. You know what? And anytime somebody does that, boom, you build a brick in the wall. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding? I don't know what the heck that has to do with anything. Sorry, Pink Floyd for you younger people. Okay. All right. But you understand what I mean there. And when you do that, you end up, and I ended up so isolated and so hurt that I was just spiraling around in my own hurt, in my own little Jack City. And so what began to happen, I became the prisoner, because you cannot live walled up in life. You can try. And so what I want to do right now is I want to give you a list of wall materials that we build our walls with. And what offenses happen that cause us to build walls. Number one, betrayed. Anybody been betrayed? There's been times in my life where there's someone who I've loved and I've opened up and I've had confidence in and trusted in that has not only let me down but stabbed me in the back. Something that I've shared with them. Something from this role, I've run into thousands of people over the years as a pastor, and I've tried to be where they are and share with them and give them my heart and hear their heart. And at times when I realized that in ministry, people who I was really good friends with who would come to birthday parties and stuff, because of whatever, they decided to, boom, cut me off and betray me or talk about me in life. Anybody been there? Or what if you are, they actually told other people what I said. That was from my heart. Any teenage girls here? Anybody been a teenage girl? They're mean. Am I right? Some teenage girls are vicious. Not all of you, but a lot of you. You put two teenage girls together, it's awesome. You throw a third one in, World War III. You put two guys together, they're okay. You put three together, they're doing something stupid like farting with their armpits. It's like a game, who can do it the loudest, right? Am I right? All right? Betrayal. It's my best friend. Next day, oh, I can't stand her. What happened? Okay, anyway, sorry. Number two, falsely accused. Anybody ever been falsely accused of something? This one burns me up. I hate disrespect, I hate lying, but when you're falsely accused, when people take what I say or do and mess it up, and in this social media time, and in this email time of life, people just pass stuff around, and before you know it, it's not what you said. I speak for a living here. I also do it at school. I've done it plenty. I do it all the time and in counseling, and you would not believe how many times somebody has taken one little thing that I say and blown it out of proportion in a completely different way. And email's worse, because when you receive it, people think you say something, and if they're mad and frustrated, they apply that to what you're writing, and they assume, and we all know what happens when you assume, they assume that what you are saying is what they are feeling, and before you know it, right? And everybody hates you. I've sent a text to somebody out of love before, and I had somebody look at me like, I'm going to kill you. Next time they see me, I'm like, hey, how you doing? They're like, okay, Colt's there. What do I do now? And there's something completely messed up. I have volumes of that over my life. Volumes of that over my life. And we have those. Falsely accused. Next one. Rejected. Anybody been rejected? When you feel shunned or cut off? And often the biggest rejection happens when you need somebody most. I've always tried. My initials are JC, but I'm not him. And I've always tried to be the presence of Christ wherever anybody needs me. If you have a surgery and I can be there, I will be there to try to pray with you before. If you're hurting or if you're going through a death or, I mean, I've been with people who've died through birth, through all this kind of stuff. And I've tried to be there, but I've often found out that sometimes when Jack is hurting and needs somebody, some of the people I've been there for the most are not there. Some of you may have been around this church long enough to remember when there was a print, and I found it yesterday, and that's why I'm saying it. There was a print that was given to me, and it had the story of Moses and Aaron and Hur lifting up the hands. And some of you remember signing that print, and I remember underneath it said, "We as the church at Haven promised to hold you up and to do this." And some of you are still here. But I will tell you, many of the people that I helped hold up have gone on because of one thing or another. And when I needed hands held, some of you did it, and some of them haven't thought again about that. That's an area to build a wall. That hurts at times, you know, because we're all human, and it hurts. And you feel rejected in that. And so one of the things in my Facebook thing last week, when I asked the question about being rejected or being hurt or forgiveness, the biggest forgiveness issue, one of the things that I found from people, several people, was when people started to say about a pastor or a church hurting them, and forgiveness for a church and a pastor. And believe me, I have been around church and I've been around pastors all my life. My dad's one. And there are moments where I have seen pastors not be there. And there's moments where I, as a pastor, have not been there for one reason or another. And often one of the things I think is, and there's moments when people haven't been there for me, as I just shared, but one of the things that I think is our expectations. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I expect more. As a Christian, I expect more from the church. I expect more from Christians. And one of the sad things, and you can agree with me or not, that I found in life is sometimes that's not a good thing. You know, in the world, we expect to be kicked in the butt, right? We expect for people to not care. But when we talk about the love of Christ and if we've been forgiven by God and we have a relationship with Christ, I sort of expect Christians to love one another. Is that wrong? But in our experience, I'd say many of us have experienced that it's completely the opposite. Am I right? And so there's something wrong, a disconnect there. But what happens is I don't expect anything from the world. But I expect from the church, and I expect from pastors, right or wrong, I think that's one of the reasons why many of these came here. That a lot of times we set ourselves up to be hurt when we expect people to act differently. And sadly, one of the things that we see in church and in the United States of America, that church is another part of our lives, not the center point of our life where everything flows. That's been a change in 20, 30 years in ministry. Next one, number four, abuse. Joyce Meyer shared the abuse that she had was sexual abuse. But so many people over the years, physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, verbal and emotional abuse. The scars on people's lives are horrific from these things. I've heard so many people over the years talk about abuse. The next one that we have, humiliated. Has anybody ever been publicly humiliated? Not like yourself, you did something stupid and people laugh at you. I'm saying like people have publicly humiliated you. There's a lot of talk about bullying now, right? And you know, many of us who grew up in the 80s, 70s, or before were like, we remember it, made us this way. But we also didn't have social media where they can plop something on and you can get attacked by hundreds of people. Anybody remember slam books? Where you write nasty things down in a book and hand to people, and then they would write nasty things about a person. Now they have full web pages that slam individuals and talk nasty about them. How would you like that to be there for everybody who has an internet connection about your life? How would you like your adolescence projected over the internet? How many are glad that they didn't have cell phones back when you were growing up? Hallelujah, praise God, right? It would be an interesting video today if you had mine, all right? These are things that we build walls when we've experienced these. And I want to tell you, this is not a random list that I just pulled out anywhere. This is the list that Jesus went through on Thursday and Friday of his suffering and death. Let's look at that, the story of Jesus. It started with a betrayal by a good friend named Judas. Now, we have 2,000 years of history looking at Judas as this evil person. But he was his friend, betrayed by a friend. It then led to a false trial, and he was falsely accused, where he was misunderstood, and they even brought false witnesses in. Even people who are not Christians, who are Jewish scholars, said it's a travesty of justice that they did that. He was rejected. He needed the other 11 and all those crowds that were singing Hosanna early in the week to stick by him, to remain faithful and true. And then one of his best friends, Simon Peter, cursed him 3 times. Let's not just say he denied him. He cursed him. I didn't know the bleep is what he said. He didn't even say to a little girl, said, "You sure you aren't with him?" He's like, "No." He was abused. He was beaten and nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns shoved on his head. And he was humiliated. We don't have any picture that is truly fully depicted the humiliation Christ went through. The Passion of the Christ as a movie is an excellent example, but most historians have seen that Roman citizens often put people on the cross naked to extra humiliate somebody. So here he is. Why did he go through all this? Because the Bible said this had to happen because it should have happened to you and me. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 in the Message says, that's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as a high priest to get rid of people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where it was needed. High priest, that sounds like a really churchy term, doesn't it? High priest. The Bible talks about this title, and it's basically somebody who's an advocate or a mediator, kind of like an attorney, that anytime we should be accused, Jesus says, whoa, wait a second. And he went through all this, and he says, I went through that. I understand it, God. I understand it. No, pull your wrath back, God, because I took that penalty on myself. So he's not only going on our behalf for the Father, but he's also the ways that we get out of jail free card because of that. I heard the story the other day of a criminal who was before a court, and he had his public defender with him, and he was so mad, something didn't go the way, he was so mad that he punched and beat up his public defender in the courtroom. And the public defender stopped and said, "Judge, I don't want to press any charges. I don't want to press any charges because I can understand this man's coming from a very hurt place." Isn't that what we do with Jesus, our mediator, though? Don't we beat him up every once in a while? And yet he says, no, Dad, it's okay. I understand he's coming from a hurt place. And so when we look at this now, Jesus not only is God, but he understands it because he's been through this thing. In the book of Hebrews, it says he was tested and tempted to all points. And the Bible says, so therefore we should be able to approach him with confidence. So what does this mean for us? How do we respond? 1 Peter 4, verse 1 says, since Christ suffered while he was still in the body, that means while he's here on earth, strengthen yourselves in the same what? In the same what? In the same, say it again. In the same way of what? Thinking Christ had. The same thinking, the same emotions, the same approach, the same processes, the same way that Christ did. In other words, Jesus did something that you and I have to do when we're dealing with this area of offense and hurt and unforgiveness. And if we do that, even though we don't want to last week obey, then it'll work out fine. So what did Jesus do? He was nailed on a cross. He was betrayed. He was falsely accused. He was rejected. He was abused. He was humiliated. And in Luke 23, verse 24, while he's nailed and beaten, hanging naked upon a cross, for all to look at him, he says this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Now here's the truth. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were nailing a man to a cross because he had gotten a little too powerful and was sharing God in a different way. The Romans wanted to get rid of him because he was claiming to be a king, and you only had one king named Caesar. The secret to Jesus having a pure heart, though, was he made a choice. He made a choice to see all those people differently. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. You will have offenses and you will have hurt in this world. You will be betrayed. You will be falsely accused. You will be rejected. You will be abused. You will be humiliated. And we at that moment are presented with a choice ourselves. Do we see them as we do? Or do we see them differently through the eyes of Jesus? Now I want to lighten this up for a bit. There's a lot of people on the road now. It's getting close to Christmas, right? And there's some of the people are not the nicest people on the road. Like, have you ever had somebody who just is right on your rear end? And you can see they're yelling and screaming and they're giving you the one finger wave? Anybody had that? You know what I mean, right? Okay, just checking. You were waiting. He's not going to do it, is he? No. So you can choose to believe one thing. You can believe that that person is exactly a, fill in the blank, jerk, toad, that'll work. A lot of us were thinking things a lot worse, right? Okay, we'll go with toad, okay? You can think they're a toad, jerk, fill in the blank, okay? Or you can choose to believe that they just received news that someone in their family was injured badly or has a major medical situation and they're rushing on their way home or to the hospital and they need you to get out of the way so that they can get there right away. Now, the chances are the second one's not true. They are jerks and they are toads and they are bloop, okay? But wouldn't it be a tragedy if the second case was really true, and you flipped out, which I tend to do all the time, and called them every name in the book, and slammed on the brakes a little bit. How many have done that? Uh-huh. All right. And you give the, and you look down and say, I'm going to go slower. And you block them in when there's a car next to you, and like, and they speed up to the next one, you slow down, right? I know how you are, because I've been behind you. Move, okay? But wouldn't it be a tragedy if that was the case, that they really need to go? Or let's say they are jerk toad. Bloop. I'm going to tell you this. It does your heart no good, and my heart no good, to feel that way. Right? Ultimately, that's where it resides. It makes us a prisoner again to some jerk who's riding our tail on the road. For what purpose? I want to read this prayer to you. It's called A Different Type of Prayer. And I found it on the internet. It says this, Heavenly Father, help us to remember that the jerk who cut us off in traffic last night could be a single mother who worked 9 hours that day and was rushing home to cook dinner, help with homework, do the laundry, and spend a few precious moments with her children. Help us, Heavenly Father, to remember that pierced, tattooed, disinterested young man who can't make change correctly could be a worried 19-year-old college student balancing his apprehension over final exams with his fear of not getting his student loans for the next semester. Remind us, Lord, that the scary-looking bum begging for money is in the same spot every day who really ought to get a job could be a slave to addictions that we can only imagine as our worst nightmares. Help us to remember that old couple walking annoyingly slow through the store aisles and blocking our shopping progress are actually just savoring the moment, knowing that based off of the biopsy report she got last week, this will be the last year they go shopping together. Heavenly Father, remind us each day that all of the gifts that you give to us, the greatest gift is love. It's not enough to only share that love with those we hold dear, but with others. Open our hearts not just to the ones that we are close to, but to all of humanity. Help us to see others the way you do, not as a problem to avoid, but a person to be loved. If you want a white Christmas in your heart, you're going to have to do something you don't want to do. Jesus, in all his greatest agony, and I know he didn't want to do it because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if you can, remove this from me. It wasn't something supernatural. It was him that said, he made a choice to say, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. So how do we do that? How do we do this? How do we see? Do you see what I see through Jesus is asking? How do I see through Jesus' eyes? I'm going to go through these really quickly, and then we're going to pray and do a song and head out. Number one, remember that you also need forgiveness. You know, when I'm talking about forgiveness, often I get this approach about, oh, I got to forgive that person, I got to forgive that person, I got to forgive that person. But I need forgiveness too. Because I am that jerk on the highway of life. I am that toad. I am that bleep, right? I have offended other people in my life. I can be a pretty offensive sucker in my life. So in other words, I need to pass on what I have received from others. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. How many? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, you're not going to like this, but what it means is I have and you have had the hammer and nails that drove the hands and the feet of Jesus into the cross because of what I did. My actions put Jesus there. What we've received from Christ, we need to pass on. Matthew chapter 10 says, freely you have received, freely give. When you have received, when you receive, what you receive from God is more than you can ever give. You cannot give God. Number two, refocus on the real enemy. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, the people, the Roman soldiers, were the ones who spread his arms out after beating him, nailed them into the cross, put his hands together, his feet together, nailed them, and made it so he had to pull his weight up on his arms and his legs while he had been beaten. He knew it was them who did it, but he made a choice to say, Father, forgive them, because he focused on the real enemy. And that's what we need to do, focus on the real enemy. Because there is a real enemy who is causing offense against us all, who is polluting and deceiving us all. And Jesus chose to see the very people that nailed him and beat him as victims themselves. When we talk about abuse, one of the things that people in counseling always find out, and scholars have found out, most people who are abusers have been abused themselves. It doesn't dismiss their behavior. That's not what we're talking about at all. But we find out that they have hurt that they in turn have passed on. And if we're good at passing on hurt, why aren't we better at passing on love and forgiveness? We need to focus our energy not on the ones who wrong us, but on the one who's wronged everybody, and his name is Satan. Ephesians 6 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's not against people, flesh and blood. It's against the realm, that there's a spiritual realm, a realm full of evil that deceives and harms humans. That Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let your anger not be geared totally at the human, but let it be geared at the one who is the source of all evil. Jesus made a choice, and you can too. And this leads us to the last one. And the worship team will begin to make their way up in a little bit. And it's a preview of next week, so I'm just going to hit and run. Next week is based off of a lot what was said on Facebook. What was the most difficult forgiveness issue you ever had to deal with? And a lot of people, maybe even a majority of people, said the biggest problem they had was forgiving themselves. I am my biggest issue. And so the message next week is going to be titled this, The Ghost of Christmas Past. How do we get over that? We need to receive God's love. It's easier to love if you receive love. Some of us have it. Some of us have that love of God, and we just can't wait to share that. That's been evident in what we've done here in this room, in this building, with Christmas boxes almost stacked to the roof. What we've done with turkeys. Lots and lots of turkeys, right, Donna? More turkeys than you ever seen in your life. Turkey, turkey here, everywhere, right? Gobble, gobble. That works, all right? But turkeys are one thing, but it's lives. It's lives that you're changing for Christ. I saw somebody from our church yesterday working in the distribution center for Operation Christmas Child. said it was one of the most awesome experiences to see all those come together. And to know that 300 plus from this church are going to individuals. It's Shop with a Cop, where lives are changed, not because of just stuff, but because somebody is telling them, I love you and I care about you. That's why the verse I started with, I'm only going to hit and run from John 4, 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. Notice it's because, it's saying I'm unable to love, I can't love, but because I received the love from God, I can love the unlovable. I can love everybody because of the love that God has. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a what? Liar. If anyone, for anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he's not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. When you get this amazing love from God, you can give it. Whoever loves God must, it's not a suggestion, must love their brother. And I'm glad to be a pastor in a church where you've displayed time and time again how much you love when there's a need. But I also believe that we all need a good dose of home love with each other here, in our families, in our community, loving one another. Jesus is asking this question today. Do you see what I see? Does he see us like the world sees us? Does he see the person who's homeless as this bum who needs to get a job? Or does he see him as somebody who's dealing with something that we can't even imagine? Does he look and see an angel tree filled with just papers and that's all it means? Or does he look and say, these are kids who could go one way or the other, and if I reach them, that maybe, just maybe, they'll come to know Christ? How do we see each other? When we get cut off on the road, how does he see that person? It's a choice. Are we willing to take it and see what he sees? Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand today. Go ahead. And I'm just going to pray for you. And so bow your heads, if you will, for me and pray. Lord God, I just want to pray today for two types of people. I want to pray for those to receive God's love and forgiveness. You may be a non-Christian. You may be a Christian that has lost connection because of much of what we talked about today. Some of those blocks, you've built a wall around religion and faith and church. And so you're not. Some of you may be here and not sure where you are. But I believe that Jesus wants to release you from the offenses that have occurred in your life and start to tear walls down if you'll just be willing to see what he sees. And then there's another group who wants to receive God's love and forgiveness today. So right where you are in your life, in your mouth or in your mind, I want you to just say, out of your heart and mouth, God, I'm sorry for the offenses I've committed against you and others. Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. Today I receive what you did for me on the cross. Make me a brand new person. I surrender my life to you. Be number one, or be the Lord of my life. I want to make a choice to see what Jesus sees when it comes to others. If you want to make a choice in your life just to see what others as Jesus sees them, just kind of where you are. You don't have to lift your hand up high, but just keep it there like you're ready to receive it. Just keep it right down here, like right by here, and just say, okay, God, I want to receive that. And God, we recognize that, and just say this to yourself, and God, I recognize that people have betrayed and falsely accused and rejected and abused and humiliated me. You said they'd come, and God, you're not wrong. They did. But I want to make a choice today. I got a choice to look at them in one way, but I want to make a choice today and see them as you see them. And so, Father, in the same way you did on the cross, in your biggest point of agony, I want to say this. Father, I forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And in the mighty name, everybody who's here and everybody who's watching, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will break the power of offense and unforgiveness in people's lives. Some of them may have been there 30, 40 years. Some of them may have been just brand new. But God, we are not going to give the real enemy, Satan, a stronghold in our lives. And I pray, and in the name of Jesus, I have the authority through the name of Jesus for your name, a strong and mighty tower. Your name, Jesus, breaks the power of sin and death. And in your name, God, I pray that you break the power of offense and unforgiveness. And that you give us your promise that even though your heart is bleeding and broken, I will cleanse it and make it white as wool. Give us a white Christmas of purity and hope and love in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It's really kind of crazy. We were going through a whole bunch of different songs, but it's like every song set up for everything. It's like there's been one theme from the, That's not a mistake, right? That's not a mistake. That's God working through everything. That's really awesome. In spite of us, right? In spite of us. And that's how it works. So it's just awesome. I love it. Love when God does that. So one more week in the series, White Christmas. Okay? And so next week, we're going to deal with forgiving ourselves. All right? So the big one. We're going to end with that one. And then we'll enjoy Christmas. Okay? So, and we'll enjoy Christmas. Why? Because we'll have a white Christmas. And we'll be clean and hopefully be free from these things that kept us bound. So have an awesome week in the Lord. Or next week, the Ghost of Christmas Past. You're going to say, look at somebody and say, get over yourself. That's what we're going to do next week. Have an awesome week in Jesus. God bless.